One of the things that I've done with this interview segment here at thecommentary.ca is really book guests that interest me, that hopefully in turn interest the audience that visits. From the numbers the site gets, I'm pleased to see that there is an audience for these conversations, and from the emails I get, I'm heartened to know how they're being received here and beyond. Ever since we've been online, an added mandate is to feature reviews and segments featuring local entertainment. Vancouver is unique in its diversity, had on the concert stages, the theatrical spaces, television, and movie screens. We continue that glimpse today with my next guest, Jay Hamburger, the artistic director of Theater in the Raw, an 11-year-old grassroots Eastside Vancouver theater company featuring performances with keen social commentary and slapstick political intrigue. Mr. Hamburger joins us this morning to talk about Theater in the Raw, as well as their latest production, The Inspector General, which runs June 15th to the 18th and 22nd to the 26th at the Ukrainian Hall at 805 East Pender. The top price for tickets is $12, and for students and seniors, they're $8. For more information, call 604-708-5448. Please welcome to thecommentary.ca, Jay Hamburger. Good morning, Mr. Hamburger.
Good morning. Thank you, Joseph. That was very, very well done.
Well, thank you very much. I guess I passed the audition.
You did pass the audition.
Talk to me about your background. What credits have you had in your career?
Well, it's I'm over 50, so if you've been at this long enough, it becomes sort of long and extensive if you survive it. But I originally started doing theater way back. My first play was a Japanese no play, I guess when I was in sixth or seventh grade. And then I wrote, directed, and acted a play in high school, and that really struck a note, I guess. It was an all-outdoor show, and it was kind of a fairy tale-like thing, but it was quite an occasion. And the show actually was picked up and went to an outdoor show in New Haven, and I was about 15 or 16 years old. And I guess I was headed for drama school, which is eventually what I did. And whether or not that was the best idea at the time, you know, is debatable. But I did actually graduate from Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with a BFA. And it was a very good education overall, and I played, you know, numerous parts in school. So when I came out, I needed to sort of go out on my own. I didn't want to go right into the sort of Broadway commercial scene. And I started my own troupe with my brother in New England, and we toured outside. And eventually I went on to join a theater troupe that worked in West Virginia, doing shows for the miners, which was absolutely an incredible experience. We were actually accused of being communist at one point because we were doing a Bertolt Brecht play, which is political. But, I mean, we were not communists, but we were accused of it anyway, and they ran us out of town. But it struck a chord that theater could be more than just, you know, beyond the entertainment value, which is simply marvelous. But it could also be a learning tool. And it could also help people, you know, with relief from poverty and oppression. And I did experience that in these mining towns. So I went on to join the San Francisco Mime Troupe in San Francisco at the height of the whole Nixon Watergate situation and the attempt to wind down the Vietnam War, where we actually were doing, you know, we were doing political theater as well as commedia. And, it was both a complicated and difficult experience, but it was a highly educational one. I toured the United States and went to Mexico with the troupe. And at the same time, I had a show in Godspell, which was a huge success commercially all around the world. And that brought in some royalties. So when I left the mime troupe, I could go back to start my own troupe. I had this sort of unique position of a little bit of funding, not a lot, but a little bit of funding to, you know, pay for venues, pay for some company members, and mount my own stuff. And I did that for a while until I came up to Canada, partly because I just could not stand what I saw going on during the Reagan era. And my mother was married to a salmon fisherman and just said, you know, Jay, get up to Canada. It's just gorgeous. This was in the 70s and 80s, and I came up in the 80s and became a citizen in the early 90s, and have never really looked back. I mean, going back to the States is not, I mean, I have family there, but it's not something that I am kicking my heels to do. I mean, I'm very happy in Canada. the troupe 11 years ago, basically out of the east side of Vancouver, out of an old cafe called La Quena Cafe, which was originally started by Chilean refugees as a sort of a meeting place when they came up after the Allende overthrow. And I went on the board of directors, and I managed somehow to get a slot monthly for Theatre in the Raw to perform there. So it was really unique. I had a venue to perform in which, you know, I didn't have to pay a lot of money for. I could rehearse there at nights, which was nerve-wracking for everybody. And also I could perform there. I mean, I was part of the calendar, the monthly calendar. And, the experiences there were phenomenal. I mean, we were doing a rehearsal of Zoo Story where somebody gets stabbed, and somebody had seen this, you know, rehearsal scene through the windows and called the police. And the police came in, you know, at about 12:30 at night. We were all sitting, at that point, when the police came in, we were all sitting around the table talking about the rehearsal. And they said, okay, where's the body?
Right.
And we said, what body? And they said, well, there's been a report of a stabbing. So we showed them the fake knife and everything, and there was a big chuckle. But eventually we left La Quena and became a bigger and broader troupe and started doing main stage work, which meaning that we didn't stop doing the one acts. We continued with the one acts, but we ventured into larger two, three, and then, like with the Inspector General, a five-act play, and started really touring as much as we could, you know, the province and the city and the boroughs or the outlying areas of the city, like Surrey or Burnaby. And 11 years later, we're mounting our biggest single main stage show, which is this crazy, wacky, comical Inspector General by Nikolai Gogol, who was a wizard. I mean, he was just an absolute, you know, wizard and a kind of a genius. Back in 1830, he turned this play out, which the Tsar was at, you know, one of the first performances of it in St. Petersburg. And he let this play go by. There were censors, and, you know, it was terrific oppression at the time, enough to, you know, 50 years later to create one hell of a revolution. But he let this play go by, and it really was a spark, because there are so many things in the play that are at that time and even now are outspoken. I mean, the play is about bribery, about officials on the take, and about officials with huge privileges, and where the lower classes or, you know, those without money are suffering terribly. But it's done in a comical manner, and the joke ends up being on the ruling classes in the show. It's standard stuff, but it's just so marvelous and so funny, and the cast is actually having a good time.
So there is some prescience to what's going on today and politically in the sort, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the funny thing was that we've been wanting to do this since 1997, and we just did not have the money, and we still only were able to manage one grant for this. We usually get about three or four grants per show, and this we only got one and a part of a gaming funding, which is a sort of a holdover from a previous grant. We slid it in there, but none of the funding bodies would really come forward and take this one on, which is really amazing, because the arts, we should be free enough to be critical. We should really have, like politicians, have so many strings attached, but the artists really should have a vision to be free, and the funding bodies should understand that, you know, we're a kind of a watchdog if anything's going to go on, or at least a commentary in some way on what is going on, whether it be in the United States or Iraq or Canada, and whether it be stuff that goes on with First Nations or politicians or finances, I mean, and done in an entertaining way, in some, you know, if it can be done properly. And here we couldn't really get any funding at all, so we've raised some family money, and it is expensive, I will say. It's very expensive, but we're coming through with it, and we're going to mount the show. But we've been trying to mount the show since 1997-98, and finally, with all the political intrigue going on, it just seems to be, again, very good timing. But I would have preferred it would have gone on right around the time of, you know, when Gordon Campbell was elected because there was so, you know, with such a majority, and there was, you know, his situation of being intoxicated and not stepping down, you know, honorably, you know, the timing there would have been perfect. But, as you know, you have to sort of go with your financial flow, which for a small independent grassroots theater like Theater in the Run, we are independent and grassroots. I mean, we don't have a we have a rehearsal hall of our own, which is very small and packed, you know, you can imagine with 25 people in that 15 by 30 room, but we get our work done. But we don't have, like, the Arts Club or the Vancouver Playhouse or the Pacific Theater, we don't have a venue that you can come to. We have to rent all over the place, which makes us troupe-like, and there's a certain whimsical quality to us, but it does make it hard to get an audience that will come to a place that they know where we're performing at. We have to, you know, advertise like hell where our next performance is going to be.
I was going to say, you talked about Broadway being too commercial earlier, and I was going to say that theater is expensive, whether you go here or you go to New York. But speaking of a grassroots theater company, you talked about how expensive it is for you to put on a production like The Inspector General.
Oh, my God. Well, I can tell you, I mean, the most expensive one was $54,000 for medicine, and that was about residential schools. And, you know, of course, we were just keeping our fingers crossed because we went way overboard. I mean, we thought the show was so important. So we toured it to 20, we did 26 shows, which for a small company like that, us touring is incredible. But we had a magnificent acting crew, and it was predominantly First Nations, but they just saw the importance of this, and there was no turning back. But that cost about $54,000, and we raised every penny of it. But there are some places where we thought the money would come through. We kind of expected it because of the issue. The money didn't come through. I mean, the Vancouver Foundation, and in that case, Canada Council saved us from oblivion. Remarkable funds did come through, but from other groups that we thought funding would come through, didn't. Now, with the Inspector General, this is costing us, and I mean, by comparison to the Playhouse or the Arts Club, it's small peanuts. I mean, it's just tiny, but for us, this is going to cost us probably about $25,000-$30,000. And again, but we're using a lot of private money, predominantly private money. But that's a lot of money to raise because we're trying in our crazy way to pay the company. So we're basically, even though we're not recognized, we are a semi-professional company. Once you start paying people in some form or manner, you rise out of being sort of a community theater and you become a semi-professional because a lot of people go through us into the professional world where they are paid more. I mean, we've had people go to the Playhouse, the Arts Club. We go back and forth with IATSE members and Equity. So, you know, but it's crazy scene here, and there is, unfortunately, Joseph, an elitist theater group in town, and, you know, they look down on us as, you know, rascals or lesser thans. And it's tragic because there should be nothing but support for us because we're feeding and doing the real thing, putting people, getting Canadian actors and crew members to work. I mean, there's no doubt that we've had people go through us to the top. I don't want to go around. I mean, the list is long, but it's there. But to get that really recognized, to play the game out there of, you know, the Jesse Richardson Awards or what all this is. I mean, we've been given awards. We just got a citation from Libby Davies for our work and, you know, community work. And we just got a Roger Inman Award from CCEC, which is given for economic development of you know, of people in the East Side. But to play the bigger game is not only expensive, but you've got to do a lot of lobbying. And basically, we're just trying to get our show up.
Right.
And we don't always pull the right strings. I mean, if you're going to do a show about residential school and say, you know, all was not well with certain things in Canada, you're going to pay a price for being critical. There's no doubt about it. You pay a price.
What about the quality of performers that you have in this show and in past shows? Are you surprised at the, or not surprised is probably the wrong word. Are you pleased with the quality of talent that there is in this city?
We are so lucky in this city. That's the one great thing. First place, the multi-diversity, the multiculturalism is a godsend for any theater or any arts group. It just enriches and it makes it so educational and so culturally rich. Any kind of show. I mean, our first main stage, we cast somebody of Asian background in the part of Uncle Vanya. He had the lead.
Really?
And I'm still looking at the posters thinking, my God, this was amazing what we did 9 years ago, casting an Asian in, and, you know, but it's not beyond the pale, because if you do a Russian play, there's a huge Slavic, Mongolian influence in there. I mean, they were at war or, you know, crossing borders all the time, so it's not beyond the pale. And for the First Nations piece we did, a ton of First Nations women walked in through the door. And it just made it, I mean, I was just overwhelmed with the beauty and the intelligence and the skill that these actors have. But the Inspector General, I am extraordinarily pleased with the talent. I think that, and that's the one positive thing I can say about the movies in town, is it has brought in, a rush of talent here because people want to work, and you know, Vancouver's become sort of a capital for movie making. On the other hand, for a non-union company, the union contracts and the union situation, when we get involved, are quite daunting. And sometimes we just can't enter into a negotiation because it's too much money. But the talent in this show, a lot of them are coming from a previous set of pieces. We did 11 shows at Cambrian Hall in November, December, a festival of one-acts and radio plays. And because of the excellence of the work, I cast a lot of members from those one-acts into this show, because I've not only worked with them before, but they had really proven themselves to be serious and wanting to get the work done, and they were flexible enough and talented enough to play these crazy characters. So that is a total thing that is in favor of producers and directors here in town. But there are very serious problems here in Vancouver that are just extraordinary for a city with the wealth of talent here. I mean, the venue situation for medium-sized and small theater companies is almost near disaster. I mean, it barely exists on the east side. We're performing at a Ukrainian hall on Pender and Hawks, but Commercial Drive has one medium to small-sized theater in Havana, really. Otherwise, you have to fit into restaurants, cafes, legions. And that's a limited seating of 65 because they have to hold to the fire codes. And a producer can't make any money there. It's almost impossible to pay your company. Almost every company that goes in there, the actors are doing it on gratis. Whereas, you know, Theater in the Raw is a policy. We give an honorarium to everybody. And, of course, you know, we have very little money for development. But, and the other thing is the relationship between non-union and the union, the equity and the and UBCP, the unions, is way too strict. There should be far more leniency going on, letting union workers work with semi-pro companies, getting paid something, but they need to figure these rates out that are reasonable. And it's tragic because I have equity actors at my door begging to get in this company, dying to get in because they can't get work elsewhere, and they're very good. And I really can't hire them because can't afford it, or the negotiations with the union are so strict. So that kind of stuff really needs major adjustment.
What about the reception from the public, the kinds of audiences that you get to your shows? What's that been like?
Well, it's been marvelous. It's slow at first. I will say that it's always very slow the first week, and then word gets out. And then by the second or third week, we're beginning to sort of sell out. I mean, you know, we're getting 80 to 100 people in there. Now, you know, in terms of the Arts Club or, again, the Playhouse, they're getting 400, 500, 600 people, at a pop. But for a small independent company, if you get 100 people, 150 people, you're doing extraordinarily well. I mean, you really are. You're batting up there high. And when we did Glace Bay Miners at Havana, we were sold out the last three nights. I mean, they were turning people away, and that's why it's very hard for me to go back there, because to watch $15 tickets go into a restaurant rather than, you know, paying at the box office because there's no room is, you know, it's beyond appalling. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm biting my shirt. But that's why we've gone to halls now where the seating capacity is larger. And for the one acts, the last couple of nights there that we did at Cambrian Hall, we were getting over 80 people. And, you know, we need the revenue desperately, seeing as it's such a struggle for us, you know, getting grants. But for that, we got the province came on board and the city for the one acts at Cambrian Hall for the first time. So we have now been funded by every major funding group in British Columbia, from the Hamber to the Kerner to the Vancouver Foundation to all three levels of government, Canada Council. So it was a huge breakthrough. And we have somebody working in our office named Katrina Sederos, and there's just nobody better. I mean, she just is so focused and so wonderful. And we have people who have been working for us for 8-9 years. I mean, it's just this one of these remarkable secrets in Vancouver. I mean, sometimes I just don't know how we've survived. That's the key thing, you know. But funding is always difficult for every theater. But, you know, the Arts Club has been somewhat supported in many, many ways. They have a wonderful kind of relationship with us. It's arm's length, but I do compliment them on, they've always opened up their costume shop to us. And they've been simply wonderful there. It's and I mean, it does speak well for Bill. It really does. And you know, but there are other areas where, you know, it's hard to get in. We've never been able to perform at the Fire Hall Theater for various reasons, which is, you know, in some ways shocking. We have zilch relationship with the Playhouse, which is again shocking, because if you go to England and you go, and which I periodically do because I have family there, the National Theatre has brought in companies that are peripheral or fringe and brought them on their big main stage there. And, I mean, the companies are so different. Their work is so different from the work that will go on at the National. And yet, you know, it's just amazing work. It's experimental. It's new. And those actors and those directors in that fringe company have then gone on to get other directing work or other acting work in some of the National Theatre main stage shows. And that's the way it should be. We should not be segregated, or it's us and them. I mean, it's life is too short. We should be all working towards the same goal, which is good, solid, entertaining, and memorable performing arts.
And it's not like political parties. It's art, for Christ's sakes. It's not, you know, unions or political parties that you have to segregate, I think.
Well, that's what's even more shocking, Joseph. If it's political, and we've got to get the word out because nobody has the guts to say anything, and if they're about ready to kill each other in the commons, you know, we should rise above these issues and be driven to the fact that, you know, we need to pour our hearts out and get this stuff off our chest, because it's in our conscience. And when you get all wound up in all that other stuff, it just makes it so difficult. I mean, the Inspector General, if done properly, really does say something about corruption, and corruption at the highest levels.
Right. Well, Jay, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, you're marvelous. I can't thank you enough for listening to me. I mean, wow, you're amazing.
It's quite interesting, and you brought insights that I had not heard of heretofore, neither the theater and the Raw Company, and I'm glad that we managed to talk today, and I hope everybody listening will go out and see the Inspector.
Yes, we're at the Ukrainian Hall, and that's at 805 East Pender in Strathcona neighborhood, and we open on the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, and then we carry on the second week, the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th is the closing night. And there's a number of discount nights there. So if they call 708 5448 will you know, and reserve tickets. There's a couple of discount nights there as well.
Break a leg, Jared.
Okay, and there's a ticket for you if you want.
Sure. Theater on the Raw's latest production.
And I don't think that's a bribery.
No. Theater on the Raw's latest production is The Inspector General. It's at the Ukrainian Hall, 805 East Pender, June 15th to the 18th, 22nd to the 26th. For tickets, as Jay said, the phone number is 604-708-5448. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plano.